And I'm thankful to be here tonight. What about you? How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Well, I have missed so many services this past year because of sickness and afflictions and whatever, that any time I can be in any meeting, I'm just about rejoicing all the time. Now, I want to give a little testimony before I start into this burden. I know some of you in here has not ever heard this, and some of you have. 1985, I was in a meeting out in Oregon, and we was on the, we'd done our ordinance service, and we was at the end of it singing the last song. And I was standing there, and the Lord appeared in front of me, about, I don't know how many feet back, but a few feet back. And I knew who he was, but I couldn't tell you what he was wearing or exactly what he looked like. But what he did do this, he raised up his hand, he pointed at me, and he said, "I died for you, child." That's reason note 212, Brother Bob, it's one of my favorite. I think you know that, but I'm not positive. It's been a favorite song for a long time. I desire your prayers as we look into the Word of the Lord tonight. This is going to be a little different than what's been preached in the meeting. I didn't hear the very first message, but I've heard it ever since. So let's look to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to have mercy on the service tonight. Our Father, we come to You to thank You for being a great God, a great living God, one, Lord, that answers prayer, has been said, and works in a way that is absolutely astounding to us many times. Now, Lord, we're here for You. We have enjoyed this meeting. You have blessed this meeting, and we need You one more time. We need liberty, freedom, and anointing in the Word of God tonight. We need You to work with people up and down these pews. Talk to them, work with them, encourage them, help them in every way they might need, Father. Go with us, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's go to Jeremiah 50 and 6, please. Jeremiah 50 and 6. You might wonder what I got my cell phone in the pulpit for. Is the reason I do it controls my cell phone volume. Or not my, my hearing aid volume. Not my cell phone volume, but my hearing aid volume. All right, now then. Okay. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them, and their adversary said, "We offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flock." Now, what I want to talk about tonight, and I have never preached on this line. This would be a brand new message, so to speak. Are you lost? What's it like to be lost? Have you ever been lost in a natural sense, in woods or whatever? Or got out in a place and you didn't know where you was and everything wasn't looking familiar and so forth, and it was getting dark and it was getting cold. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost in the night? Have you ever been in a position where that you was maybe scared, really scared? But I got news for you. Being lost naturally is one thing, and I've never really been lost. I've read stories about it. I've seen things, but I've never been there. But I got news for you tonight. That type of lost is one thing. But what I'm talking about tonight is the lost of lost. If not just any type of lost, it is the most serious loss that anybody could get themselves into. And there's millions and millions of people tonight that is in that position. In other words, they're lost away from the Almighty God. They're not where they ought to be. They're wandering out in the quagmires of sin, the jungle of sin, however you want to say it. They're out there in a bad, bad place tonight. They're lost. Have you known anybody that's lost in the depths of sin? Yeah, you have. There are many, many people right here know people that's been lost. in the depths of sin. You've seen them die lost. You've seen them in the quagmires of sin, and they're doing what they shouldn't be doing. And some of them know they're doing what they shouldn't be doing. But here they are. They're lost. And they're undone. Tonight, there is, you get out in a jungle, and you get out there and you're get yourself lost. There have been people that have been found. Been people that, I think this is fresh water, Brother Paul. But I'll let you switch it anyway. You do what my deaf you done to me a few years ago. Earl Benson come walking in with two cups for me one night. But anyway, you can get out there, and there is one lady, I understand that she was with a group of people. And they were out in a jungle, or on the edge of a jungle, and they were looking at plants and different things. And it got into her mind somehow that she wanted to go deeper. And she went deeper, and she went deeper. And she was looking at the beautiful plants, and she was doing this, and she was doing that, and everything was going well until she walked up, and a big gorilla was standing there. And she liked that, a heart attack right there. That big thing looked at her, and it wasn't no tiny. It was a big silverback, I would say, and he was a huge thing. And he looked at her, and she looked at him, and they exchanged eyes, and he didn't do anything, and she didn't do anything. And the bottom line was that gorilla was friendly to her that night. He was friendly to her. He helped her. He actually got her on his back and carried her to places in the woods and got her away from the bad spot. But listen, folks, that's not what is normal. That is a very unlikely thing to happen. And she was scared. She was trembling. She was maybe crying. And she didn't know what to do. Her cell phone, of course, wouldn't work. She was in a position that she thought that thing was going to kill her and kill her right there. Listen, folks, the devil wants to destroy every one of us. And he wants to get you out of the position where you don't know where you're at, maybe. And you're wandering in the quagmires of sin or the jungle of sin. And you're out there and doing those things. And then the devil comes along and he gets you doing this. And he gets you doing that. And working against you and getting you further and further away from the power of God. Let's go to the 15th chapter of Luke. And about the 11th verse, read about the young man here that decided, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took a journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, he arose. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee. I am nowhere worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Oh, tonight, this right here depicts somebody that has walked away from God and has gone out on the broad way. Has gone out and left what God had done for him. Listen, folks, tonight, we're special to God. Jesus Christ gave His life for you and me. Young people, I want to beg you tonight, don't ever walk away from the Father and say, I want to go out into the night, into the dark night, into the lost night. Don't do that. I beg you, don't do it tonight. My mom and daddy was very strict to me and my siblings. And they worked and they told us, you don't do this and you don't do that. And they worked with us. They taught us and they trained us. And I got news for you. When I got saved, I was mighty appreciative of what I was raised with, because I didn't have a lot of things to give up. I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I didn't drug. I'd not gone out with wild women. I was just a pretty clean old boy. I cussed a little bit and had a fiery temper because I was a redhead, I guess you could say. And anyway, I went out and got my jobs and done my things and set my scope. And then the Lord came along and started to deal with me. And 1971, and He called me and He worked with me. I resisted it for a while. I had things I wanted to do. I had places I wanted to go. I had money I wanted to make. But the Lord wouldn't quit. He kept talking. And Brother Lloyd Eck come by one night, about 9 o'clock at night, the station where I was working. He started talking to me. He done everything he could do but forced me down on my knees to pray. And he told me, he said, Carl, if you'll just get down here, I believe the Lord would save you tonight. I thought He would too. Well, we closed the shop up. We went to the house, and the Lord climbed in the car with me, and He talked to me. He let me know. He said, no matter how rich you are, I can take it all away in a moment's time. That was prop number one. Bam. I wanted to be rich. Wanted to have lots of money and cars and everything. So I set my scope that away. But then Jesus said, I can take it all away. Then, young people, listen to this. Brother Lloyd had had I don't know if it was a cousin, or it was a family member about my age, maybe a little bit older, that had gotten killed, if I remember right, gotten killed sometime before this. And he was explaining this to me. And the Lord let me know, you're not too old to die. You can go right now. You can step out in eternity, young people. There, you go to a cemetery. Listen, folks, it would be wise for us if we want to go out there and we want to live in sin and we want to do the things of sin. I want to tell you what you need to do. You need to go through a cemetery and look at them tombstones. You need to walk and look and consider. I preached a message in Monarch on hell. And one brother told me, he said, you know what we need to do? It said, ever keep heaven in view. He said, we need to keep hell in view too. We need to consider what's out there. We need to think that there is a hellfire and there is a judgment God, that He loves us, but He will become our judge and He'll say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, there's a lot of them out there, young people. Just go looking. All right, he said, I want my inheritance, so to speak, and I want to go. The Father done that, and He went away. God's not going to force you to live for Him. He is going to ask you. He's going to plead with you. He's going to call you. He's going to do everything He can, so to speak, but He will not force you to serve Him. It wouldn't do any good anyway. And so this young man took it and he walked away. There's a lot of people that have started and went down that road and come to the road, the Y, so to speak. One of them goes down, the other one goes up, and there have been many young people that's come to that place and they've chose the broad way. And they've gone that way, the way this young man did. And he went down, he said, not many days after the young son gathered together and he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Listen tonight. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I sure didn't have a whole lot. But you can waste everything you've got. And it's not just the money I'm talking about. You can waste your physical, you can waste your mental, you can waste your intelligence in every way. Listen, folks, tonight, the quagmires of sin and the depths of sin is going to destroy you. And it'll do it in every way it can. The devil does not like to have healthy, happy young people living for God. He don't like even good people happy and healthy, so to speak. He wants to do everything he can to destroy every individual that he can. He's the greatest destroyer. Listen, animals out in the jungle, they can do you damage. They can kill you. But I'm going to tell you what, the devil gets a hold of people and he rips them up one side and down the other. He takes their mental. Listen, I don't know. The bottom line is tonight, sin. And to be lost, to be away from God, not being able to have any contact at all. And out there in the jungles and the quagmires and the devil working with people. I've seen some pictures in some of these cities, San Francisco, Chicago. I don't see it very much, but every once in a while I see it. And the people are sitting there and they're actually using the needles. And they show you the picture of them guys shooting it up. And they're sitting there maybe trembling and shaking. That's not life. Young people, to be out there trapped in that mess and caught up in that mess, that's not a life. That's not a life tonight to get out there. But you're lost in the night and the devil is making it darker and darker. Brother Curtis Jr., as I call him, he preached a message in Guthrie about the light. And what he was getting at is the fact that people have walked away from the light of God. Listen, folks, this nation is in the mess it's in because it's walked away from the light of God. And we're in a mess today. They don't even have good common sense. Years ago, I would have never heard of a 20-year-old trying to assassinate a would-be president. I'd never seen. It's been recent. Taylor Swift, I think that's her name. I don't know much about that gal. But the bottom line is she had some... a big concert set up, and there was some young people got their heads together, and they were influenced with some upper powers, and they admitted, we want to kill thousands and thousands of people, 18, 19 years old. 50 years ago, we wouldn't even thought about doing that. Even if we was unsaved, we wouldn't have thought about doing that. If I'd have thought about it, my mama found out about it, I got to you for it, I'd have had a hot behind. Or my daddy would have done it, one or the other. Even think about it. Oh, tonight, the deeper people get, the more they're willing to do. The problem is today with our young people that are out there that doing these corruptions of sin. You know what? Mama and daddy are working. Everybody's quit going to church. They don't have anything but be taught them about the Bible, about preaching of good Holy Ghost preaching, and they're out there and they don't know anything about hellfire and heaven and God and the devil, and they're just going out there and let the devil use them every way that he can. And they're making a mess of stuff. That's what it's like to be lost in the night. That's what it's like to be lost away from God. This young man, he wasted his substance. And then he said, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He'd wasted. Over here in about the 30th verse, it talks about, but as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots. In other words, that older brother said, now listen, Dad, he's went out and wasted his money with harlots. He's wasted his substance. He's wasted. Listen, the mental side of this kind of thing, of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes. I'm going to tell you, you get those things, a cat can get a hold of you and do some damage. But I'm going to tell you, those things are addictive. You can't stop smoking very easy. You can't stop drinking very easy. You can't stop drugs. They have places to take you in and get you out and clean you up and so forth. But it ain't like being saved by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. That raises you up and kills that. I've heard people say that was hooked on cigarettes and so forth. He said the Lord just took it away instantly. This young man was in a mess. He went into his fields to feed swine. When he fain had filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him when he came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise. I don't know about the rest of you all, but these are two of my favorite scriptures in this little reading right here. When he came to himself, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're lost, it's time to wake up. If you're lost, it's time to consider. If you're lost, it's time to think there's a better life. I am down in the pig pen. Listen, this is the lowest, horriblest spot this man could have been in. The Jews abhorred. In other words, if you was eating pork and so forth, and you was a Jew, that's a no-no. You're not to do that. And this young man was caught up in this mess, and he wasn't even getting any pork teeth, I don't think. He was eating everything else. He was eating what the pigs eat. How many of you remember L.D. Chrisman? Any of you remember Brother L.D. Chrisman? Well, I've been to his farm. I've slept in his beds, eat off his table. He'd come be with us in services where we'd be, maybe Coffeyville or Webb City, different places. And he'd come. He was out praying one day, and he had a bunch of pigs over here. And he was out over here, and he said he was praying, and so forth, and he said he got through, and he looked at them pigs and said they was wallowing in the muck, in the mire. Said they were horrible looking. He said then the Lord gave him a vision. And in that vision, he showed him that when those pigs are slaughtered and prepared, and he said, I saw big old hanging pieces of meat, just as clean and beautiful, hanging in there. And he let him know, when I get things done, they're beautiful. They're clean. Listen, folks, tonight, Jesus has got some clean people. Jesus has got some healthy people, loving people, kind people. This young man came to his senses, and he decided, hey, what am I doing here? My Father's house, my servants of my Father's house, has got bread to spare, so to speak, and I'm down here wallowing in this mess. Listen, folks, it's time to get out of the pig pen. It's time to wake up. It's time to look up. It's time to consider that there is a God, there is a devil, and it's time to switch masters, so to speak. Time to run for your life. Said, I will arise, and I'll go to my Father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Listen, he's getting real, real humble now, isn't he? He knows he's messed up. You want to get to God real quick? Get real humble. He works with humble people real fast. And he said, I've sinned against heaven before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as just one of thy hired servants. Just put me out here, Dad, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm in a mess, but right here's the best place. I'm home. I am back to where I need to be. I am going to be taken care of. That's my Father. He loves me. And when his dad come down there and he said he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. That father had set worrying. That father had set looking. That father had said, where's my boy? Listen, I know every parent in here, if their child just run away or drove away and left them, they would be worried and bothered and disturbed. The only thing that could help with that would be God working with them. But this father loved his boy, but his boy was way off out there somewhere and he didn't know where he was. Where's he at? Maybe he'd dream about him. And I dare say he thought a lot about him. And he's wanting that boy to come home. And maybe he's praying, so to speak, and he's begging God to have mercy and send my boy back home. And when he saw him, he couldn't help but just do everything he could do. He ran. Well, he said, a great way off, he saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Now listen to what he's doing here. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and he's alive. He was lost. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They began to be merry. Oh, tonight, He saw him. He ran to him. And he began to do everything he could for him. Listen, folks, I got news for you. The fatted calf is far better than the mess in the pig pen. Amen. It's better than all that corruption in the pig pen. The fatted calf is a good thing. Now, I like steaks, and I like cattleman steak, and a lot of you know that. I'm going to tell you, I'll take that any day over some of this other stuff out there, especially in a world that don't taste good. I'll take my steak any day. But tonight, listen, he got the fatted calf. Look at the switch here from the one life to the other. He was out in a mess. He was stinky. He was messed up. His life was messed up. And he didn't have anything to eat and so forth. And now he comes back to the Father, and the Father gives him the very best. Matter of fact, he's so good his brother was jealous of the whole deal. Oh, tonight, do you want the good or do you want the bad? Do you want to be lost out there and doing drugs and alcohol? Well, I'll never do that, Brother Carl. Listen, folks, the devil wants to get you as far in sin as he can get you. He wants to bring you down just as far down as he can get you. He wants you as lost as you can be. And then, when you come to yourself and you return to the Father, look at the switch. He had all this that he put on him. He had the best robe. He dressed him up. He gave him something. Listen, folks, the robe of righteousness and all that goes with what God puts on us is glorious compared to the robes of sin and to the corruption of sin and to the bad things of sin. Listen tonight, Jesus does things for you and I that nobody else will do. The devil ain't going to do it. Maybe people won't do it, but listen, Jesus is out there to bless us and to help us, and he wants to bring you in. He wants to put you a good robe on you, the robe of righteousness. He wants to put a new song in your mouth, even praise be unto God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. And then he said, bring hither the fatted calf. Now let's kill it and let us eat. And be merry. My son is home. There's rejoicing in heaven. The angels and so forth when somebody gets saved. They're so blessed that there's a rejoicing. There's a blessing there. Listen tonight. Let us consider. Do you want to be lost in the depths of the jungle? I saw a deal on my phone. It was something to do with wildlife. And I don't even know how I stumbled across it. But anyway, it was over in Africa, is where it was at. And it had some big snakes in it, had some lions in it, and maybe gorillas and different things. I don't think I saw any humans. But anyway, these snakes, they would raise up and they would spit at them. And I looked at the snake, he's about 5-6 foot long, and pretty good sized snake. And he was spit, and he hit one of those lions, looked like right in the eyes. And I don't know if it happened as fast as the video deal showed it, but this lion walked over, and he started shaking and trembling, and he fell over, and he was dead in just a few moments' time. You know what that spit was from? A cobra. A spitting cobra. I looked it up. I thought, well, Carl, do you remember right? I did. I thought there's such a thing as a spitting cobra. And them cats would reach out and they would do this and they would do that. Listen, folks, them wild animals out there want you as bad as they can get you. They'd like to have you for supper, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's even worse than that tonight. And Jesus, he wants to give you something far better than all that. Do you believe what I'm preaching tonight? All right, I got some amens. I'd like to have everybody in here saying amen, Brother Marty, if I get them. I challenged them in Pacoima, and I got most of them to say at least amen. I wish they'd be shouting in here tonight and other time, not just tonight. But he had something. I want you to see the difference from the one life to the other. There is people in here that's got a testimony that was out in sin, And they'll tell you that's far different when you come back to Jesus. It's far different when you get the robe of righteousness, when you get to eat of the good things, praise God, when you get to feast on this word right here, when you get to be blessed in service, when you're just jumping inside, so to speak, because of the blessings of salvation, praise God, to be lost in the night. It's not pretty out there, folks. It's horrible. All right, let's look at Luke 19:10 here. It said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. And then let's go to Matthew 18. And right the same type of deal, but there's a little bit more scripture there. 18:10 here. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think you, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth not he leave the 99 and goeth unto the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? So if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which were not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. There's a lot of protection from farmers to their animals. They want to do everything they can do to take care of the cattle, sheep, goats, whatever. The horses. There is horses out there and there's cattle out there worth thousands of dollars apiece. And them ranchers, they're very, very careful with how they work with that. Well, tonight, you're worth more than all the world. And Jesus is very careful how he works with you and with me. He looks down and he said he came to save. Come to save that which is lost. And one scripture said he came to seek and save. I'm going to tell you, has Jesus been seeking after you in this meeting? Has he been talking to you? Has he been working to you? And you've just kind of pushed it off? It's time to listen to Jesus. It's time to let him tell you how good it can be. We get out there and we think, boy, I got a great life, do you? You're lost out in a dark jungle with all kind of bad things. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing. You're doing the drugs. You're doing the smoking and so forth. And you think that's a good life? I wouldn't trade what I got for millions and millions of dollars of all that stuff and millions of free cash on top of that. I've got something that I've enjoyed for over 53 years now. Tonight. He said he went out and he searched for him. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's been searching. He's been searching here probably. He's been looking after and calling, wanting, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Come unto me. Come, I want to bless you. I want to help you. Listen, folks, it's time to listen to the Spirit of the Lord and not the spirit of the devil. It's time to listen to the one that died for you. When he told me, he said, I died for you, child. Now listen, folks, I didn't have a dream. I was standing up, I was wide awake, and he appeared unto me, and he said, I died for you. The tears started streaming. The next one right by me on my side over here, she goes, what's wrong with you? We wasn't under conviction. No service of any type to be a conviction. And so she goes, what's wrong with you, Carl? Well, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. But the bottom line was, Jesus wants to appear. Jesus wants to bless. Jesus wants to fill you with all the glory. Right in West Virginia. Excuse me for saying it this way, but I call him the old general. In his house. And one night the Lord come in. The two wives were sitting in the kitchen doing something. And I was sitting in my recliner. And Jesus come right up here. He got so close to me that I had glory flowing through my body. And it was so powerful that I thought I was going to explode. Now, folks, that's the life. That's far better than getting and doing this, or doing this, or doing that. It's better than you're smoking, you're drinking, and you're drugs. It's better than you're ripping and roaring and going to all these worldly things. It's better than chasing wild women. Listen, folks, that right there, I'd been sick for weeks. I was one sick man. People thought I was going to die. They said, why would the Lord take you at your age? I don't know. But I soon found out. I found out I was going to get to be the pastor of Guthrie, Oklahoma. And what I went through helped to set my ministry for all the suffering. Sister JoJo, your mama, and different ones down through the years, when they would say, I'm suffering here, I'm having that, I can look at them and say, I understand. I can pray with a burden. I can get in with them. Listen, folks, tonight, Jesus has got a far better life for you tonight than out in the quagmires of sin. To be lost in the night. Oh, it's dark out there. It's dark and it's dangerous. And there's people out there that take lives all the time. There's people that just clubbing people, even in broad open daylight in L.A. and Chicago and Detroit and Baltimore and these big cities. I told Molly, I'd like to show you some of this stuff. Be honest with you, I'm scared to go in some of these towns. And I've been in about every one of them. I've been in nearly every major city in this country. Don't stay lost in the night. Don't give your life to the devil and sin. Come and let Jesus give you something. Rebecca, come in that room there. I was in the recliner in the new den that Brother Sammons had built onto his house there. And I was there and I was beside myself. I was crying, I was shouting, I was tearing, I was everything all at one time. And she looked at me and said, are you all right? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, Jesus just got real close to me. I'm talking about real close. I've never had anything quite like it since then. I had another blessing while I was there, but it was kind of different, but it was some real blessing. But tonight, there's blessings in living for God. There is great blessings. And I couldn't say this if I hadn't experienced it for years. Oh, tonight, don't be lost. Don't stay lost. Don't even entertain doing those kind of things. It's time to dig down. It's time to look to the Lord. It's time to be blessed in your soul. Let's go to Ezekiel 37 and 11. 37 and 11 of Ezekiel. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts, for our parts. Our hope is lost. Hope is a great thing. And when people come to the place where they lose hope, Brother Dan, they're in a mess then. And there is people out there tonight that has lost basically all hope. I'm trying to preach to you something of hope tonight. Trying to bring out the fact there's a greater way and a better way and a glorious way. And not to go on in the quagmires of sin and the jungle of sin. Get out of there and serve the Lord. Our hope is lost. There's people that kill themselves because they've lost all hope. There's people out there that commit suicide all the time anymore. And part of it, I may be wrong, but they've lost hope. They have no hope they can get out of the situation they're in. And so they flounder with it. And then the devil comes along even more and said, no, you can never this and you can never that. You might as well just end it. And they do. I worked for Brother Earl. Niecy and I worked at a house. It was about $1 million home. The man worked in the stock market business, and his wife was a banker. They had her mother. No, it was his mother. Living with them. Now, this was a big home. This wasn't no little home, about $1 million home. Beautiful. If I'd had the money, I'd have moved in right away. It was that pretty. And anyway, we were talking one day, and this mother-in-law told Earl Marie and I, said she had a good friend, a couple, not just a friend, but a man and a wife. and said everything was going good. They had a nice home, they had a good job, money was flowing, everything was going good. And she pretty well knew when he would, because of the connection in the job somehow, and that's been a long time ago and I don't remember all about it, but the bottom line was he didn't show up for work. So she called her brother, I believe it was, or her brother-in-law, said, can you meet me at the house? Yeah. So they met about the same time. He said, I'll go to the barn, you go in the house. She looked all through the house, no husband. He went to the barn and he found him. He was hanging from the rafters. And for some reason, and as far as that lady, that the mother-in-law said, the wife never knew why he killed himself. Never knew. I tell you why, he lost hope. I tell you why, something was about to catch up with him. Or something somehow was pushing him to the brink. And listen, folks, when the devil starts pushing, he don't quit. He wants you to step off in the utter darkness of hellfire, and he wants you to do it as quick as possible. So consequently, he works with that. He wants people to have no hope. He wants people to look at the future and to look at this and that, and there's nothing there that even is interesting. Listen, there is something there, but we got to look up. We've got to reach out. We've got to say, I've come to my sense, so to speak. I arise, and I'm going to my Father, praise God. That's what you need to do, run to the Father. Don't allow the devil to just destroy you with your hope. There is hope tonight. And if you don't think there is, seek a minister or two out in this meeting, or your pastor at home, say, I need you. I want to talk to you. They can give you some hope. They can take you to the Word of God and open it up and say, here it is right here. This is what you need. 34 and 16 of Ezekiel. 34 and 16 of Ezekiel. And I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. Will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and I'll feed them with judgment. I will seek that which was lost. Oh, tonight he's seeking. He's seeking. He's desiring. He's desiring. He wants people. Let's go to the last verse of the 119th chapter of Psalms. I've read this, I don't know how many times, but it didn't really hit me till I read it connected with this message. And it said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Oh, tonight, there is young people in here and older people. You know some of the Bible. You know what's been taught. You know it better than I did. I never spent a lot of time in church before I started going to Guthrie in 1971 to the camp meeting. And from that point then, when I got, and let me tell you young people something. Do you know what really, one of the things that really got my attention was you. The young people had a happiness and a life that this old boy didn't have. Daddy had money. We had a big old house. We had about anything we wanted within reason. We weren't millionaires by any means. But he had a good living and made good money. And I wasn't spoiled. But the bottom line was I didn't have happiness like this one did and some of us here tonight. I could call names of those of you that I watched. And I looked at the life that you lived before me, and I thought, I don't have that. And it disturbed me and it bothered me. Listen, folks, tonight, young people, those of you that are saved and living for God, I want to encourage you to go on. I want to encourage you to live for God the best you can. I want you to encourage you to live the life and go to meeting and be in camp meeting. I want you to get close to God. I want you to be sanctified, saved and sanctified like we heard last night. You know what has happened? And I run this by Brother Michael. But you know what has happened to the sanctification message? Who used to preach on sanctification all the time? Give me a name now. Come on. The old general. He preached on it, and I worked with him. He preached it here and here and here and there. And even when I wasn't working with him, he still preached it, of course. And what happened to him? He died. You remember when he died? He died in 1998, January 14th, if I'm right. He died January 14th, a month before his birthday, which was February 14th of 1998. And I don't know why, brethren, but that message is just stagnated. I don't even preach it much. Now, what I don't know, pastors, if you all preach it at home, and you probably do, and I hope you do. I hope you impress and work with that. But folks, tonight, you need the salvation message and the sanctification experience, both of them. You need that as a one part of your life to fulfill you totally, and then you just need to follow that Holy Spirit where He leads you. Amen? Need to follow Him, and you need to thank Jesus. You need to thank the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times in a day I thank God for doing even what I call little things. If I walk very far, my legs hurt anymore. I don't go to Walmart and walk around the store. I get in one of them electric go-karts and away I go. I don't even like to walk from the parking lot into the store if it's very far. And you know what I've done? I pulled in. I said, Lord, I need you to give me a parking space close to the place. There have been times He's done that over and over and over. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. One time one person was pulling out. They pulled out. I pulled right in. A perfect spot. Oh, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Is this your position tonight? Are you astray from God? Are you looking out in the quagmires of sin? Are you looking out in that dark jungle night? I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. This ought to be the start of our prayer. Lord, seek me, for I do not forget thy commandments. Listen, you've heard it. You've heard it preached. You've heard it taught. You've been in services with your mother and your father and so forth. I do not forget. Lord, come after me. That's the prayer we need to start with right there. All right, let's stand and have a number, please. I appreciate your time and attention tonight. I'm so thankful to be able to be here.